1-213-879-TALK. That's the number here at Talk Radio. It allows you to take part in the program this morning. Now, just let the phone ring. We won't answer it until it's your turn, and it'll save you some money. 1-213-879-8255. That's 1-213-879-TALK. Welcome to our annual or semi-annual shortwave World Band DX special. And we're talking about international broadcasting here this morning. In the studio, Stuart McKenzie, the American Shortwave Listeners Club. Steve Miller, who is operator of Radio West. It's a mail order and retail shortwave supplier that supplies all kinds of world band radios around the world. We have George Jacobs on the phone. George is, of course, world-renowned shortwave engineering consultant. He's speaking to us from Silver Spring, Maryland. And shortly, we'll be talking with Tom Nitel, editor of Popular Communications Magazine, and Larry Magny, publisher of Passport to World Band Radio. Now, we want to hear from you people, so start calling. And if you've never, ever listened to shortwave before and you got one as a Christmas present and you want to know how to operate it, now is your chance to get in, for heaven's sakes. Now, listening to a shortwave can be quite an experience. Every Saturday night, one of the things I try not to miss is Letter from America with Alistair Cook. Now, on a recent program here a few months ago, he talked about Mr. Gorbachev. Listen carefully. We'll take just a portion out of Letter from America with Alistair Cook from the BBC.
However badly I've expressed this, I'm quite sure that the cheering went beyond acknowledging the expertness of the performance. Just for an hour or two. On the way out, we were back to the reality of the metal detectors. And next morning, the first piece I read in the paper was about an article in the leading literary monthly of the Soviet Union, written by a man I, and perhaps you, have never heard of, one Andrei Nuikin. A piece you would not expect to read in an official Moscow monthly. That suggests that at this moment, the Soviet Union is in a situation similar to the one which was dramatically changed by the sudden takeover, or coup, of Joseph Stalin. For the second time in the 20th century, it says, we are witnessing a kind of dual conflict of power in Russia, in which neither side is prepared to launch a decisive offensive and awaits its hour to strike, in the meantime, limiting its activities to particular operations for reconnaissance purposes. The publication of this article in Moscow, not in an underground paper, but in the most respectable official monthly, is, to say the least, extraordinary. The same disturbing prediction is taken up also by a famous French journalist, Michel Tatou. During the 60s, a correspondent in Moscow, who does not go so far as Mr. Nuikin in saying that the Soviet Union is in the sort of situation that could provoke a sudden reversal of power, but he speculates on the assumption that the pre-Gorbachev bureaucracy is not only entrenched, but is solidly opposed to the new leader, and could do to him what it did to Khrushchev, what the Frenchman calls a brutal eviction from power. Monsieur Tatou says, I think quite rightly, given all that Gorbachev has done to get Western opinion to appreciate his efforts, the reaction abroad to such a development or coup would be disastrous. He even anticipates, this is no gossip monger, but a serious, brilliant Kremlinologist. He anticipates what he calls another solution not to be ruled out, namely an unfortunate accident that would permit the burial of the reformer with full honors and the proclamation loud and clear by his successor of the key words glasnost and perestroika, while giving to them very different meanings. In other words, no open denunciation. They'd come to praise Caesar and bury him at the same time.
A little something to think about, and that's the way it goes on Letter from America every Saturday night on the BBC, and that was monitored from the BBC. We'll be right back.
KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis.
KSTP, talk radio.
All right, let's say hello now to Tom Nitel. Tom is in New York City, and we'll say hello. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, folks. How you doing? Hi, Ray. How's everybody doing there?
Fine. How's Property Communications Magazine?
It's doing fine, and we're growing and having a good time with it.
It's one that I think is pretty good. Sunspots and why there's more interest in Popular Communications Magazine, because the sunspot activity has increased in the 11-year cycle. Hold on a second, George, and hold on a second here, Tom. We'll be right back. This is Talk Radio. I'm Ray Brain.
The 16, 25, and 31 meter bands, and on 203 meters in the medium wave band till 12 p.m. East Australia Standard Time.
All right, that was a service they used to have to Australia and New Zealand. I don't know if they still have that service or not. I haven't heard it in a long, long time. But you could hear it on the west coast of North America loud and clear, which goes to show you that they might beam a shortwave program to one area of the world, but many times you can hear it in other areas as well. Let's now check in with another gentleman who also puts out a very good magazine. It's an annual called Passport to World Band Radio. Larry Magny. Larry, are you there?
Yes, Ray. Good morning.
Pennis Park, Pennsylvania?
Penns Park.
Penns Park. Where is Penns Park?
Well, Penns Park is between New York and Philadelphia.
Uh-huh. That's a big area.
It's not so big anymore. This is about the spot where the two cities are coming together and meeting. So.
A megalopolis, huh?
Yes, it's getting that way.
Well, tell us about Passport to World Band Radio. It's become a favorite publication of mine, and I love the way you break down the transmission times, the frequencies, the powers, and the areas and the language broadcast in by the international broadcasters. I also like your review of the various products on the market today, the portable and the regular desktop world band radios. How did this magazine come about? It's an annual. It's been about, what, 3 years?
Yes, Ray. The first edition was an experimental edition that came out in 1984. And what we saw at that time was a surprisingly strong response to what had up until about then been a traditional feel, that is, not growing too much. And what we've seen since then is, in fact, there is a very strong and growing interest in world band radio in North America.
Why do you think that is?
Well, we've been doing some survey work on that, and what we're finding is, of course, some of the obvious things. For example, listening to the cuts you've just been playing, the hook, the key to this is the news. The amount of news you get on world band radio and the perspective, which may be just as important, is enormous. There's something like 1,100 channels on the air. Of course, you won't pick up 1,100 channels, but even if you only get a large fraction of those, the choice is immense, like 160 countries, some of which have many different stations, many of which are in English, or at least part of the time. So instead of getting the standard news fare that we get every evening, which is useful, but gives us a very distinct and very homogeneous impression of what's going on in the world, you wind up with an enormous diversity of choice of newscasts, commentary, news-related items, as well as entertainment, different types of music you would never hear on your AM, FM radio, and things like that. And what people are finding is that even though they have 80 or 100 channels of cable TV and maybe 20 or 30 channels of AM, FM radio to choose from, while these serve very strong and useful needs, they don't do what world band radio does. They don't provide that same sort of entertainment, and especially...
I notice you're using, as a lot of people, and I'm one of them, using world band rather than shortwave radio.
Yes.
Does the shortwave sort of... Doesn't it scare people away? People who could be listening very easily, but they say shortwave, that means you got to be a ham.
Exactly. What we found and what the BBC found was in North America, for whatever reason, people equate shortwave listening with hams. And, of course, this is like equating police or FM radio with, say, police and fire department communication. The shortwave spectrum is a portion of the radio spectrum. Just like, for example, the VHF spectrum is a portion of the radio spectrum. Now, FM broadcasting falls within the VHF spectrum, but we call it FM because it's a portion of the VHF spectrum. So the same thing applies here. Shortwave is a portion of the radio spectrum of which part is used for broadcasting. A good part of it, in fact, most of it is used for such things as radio facsimile communication from one place to another, radio telephone, radio teletype communications with aircraft, maritime communications with boats and ships. So, and in there are hams as well, but hams are not involved in broadcasting.
All right, hold on a second, Larry. We're speaking with Larry Magny, who is publisher of Passport to World Band Radio.
KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis.
KSTP, talk radio.
Now, one of the problems in trying to listen to a shortwave station is knowing when they're on the air and broadcasting to our part of the world and in our language. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And you have this detailed in a very explicit, very easy to understand way in the world scan section of the book
for Doodle Bay immediately. How did you come across this way of trying to give the schedule of international broadcasting, something that is unique that hasn't been done in other publications?
What we've tried to do, Ray, is be the TV guide of World Band Radio. There's essentially two aspects to World Band Radio. The one which is sort of visible with the smallest generic of my long shot is what is typically called the hobby or pastime aspect, and it involves large numbers of stations and whatnot. The much larger aspect is listening to the programs that are on the air. So what we've tried to do is provide this information hour by hour, country by country, and also channel by channel, as well as an analysis of the major programs in English on the air so people can know what's worth listening to and what's not.
In your surveys, what stations have turned out to be the most popular when it comes to listenership?
Well, clearly the number one, and for good reason, is the BBC World Service. It's in English 24 hours a day, it's well heard, and the quality of the programs and the diversity is just astonishing. It's clearly the best station on the air, AM, FM, TV, you name it. And the only way you can get it regularly is on World Band Radio. Number two, three, four type slots generally fall to such broadcasters as Radio Canada International. And surprisingly, in our last survey, we found Radio Moscow, which in the past had been farther back. It jumped up to number two or number three, depending on who, with what group you were surveying. And it seems that this is related to two things. First of all, the general interest in what's going on in the USSR. And secondly, the improvement in the quality of their programs. Their programs now can be quite interesting.
Yes, and of course they have commentators such as Vladimir Posner, who has now become an international broadcast figure.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Let's start taking some calls. And if you've just joined us, we have Stuart McKenzie in the studio. He's with the American Shortwave Listeners Club. It's the oldest Shortwave Listeners Club in North America. Steve Miller, Radio West. They sell radios and mail order around the world. Tom Nitel in New York City, editor of Popular Communications Magazine, and Larry Magny, publisher of Passport to World Band Radio. We're going to take a little break here, and then we'll come back and start taking some calls. So if you want to talk to any of these gentlemen, including George Jacobs, who, of course, is the man who put many of these stations on the air and was the chief engineer of the Voice of America, then now's your chance to call. This is Talk Radio. I'm Ray Brain. If you want to participate in this morning's program, just call us at the number 1-213-879-TALK. Go ahead and call the phone number. We won't answer until it's your turn, and that will save you some money. Again, our number is 1-213-879-TALK. Band, you'd be intercepting from time to time Radio Hanoi, and Hanoi Habits is called her, and some of those confessions, alleged confessions, from some of our detainees. Let's go to the first phone call we have on the line, Khalil in Los Angeles. Khalil, good morning.
Good morning, Ray. I'm a member of the Iranian community, which is growing day by day here.
And the Iranian committee?
In Southern California.
What is that?
We're Iranian exiles.
Oh.
Exiles from Iran.
I see.
And we have begun with a lot of local programming here together and the local TV and also radio. Also, I was interested in knowing how one can start up a commercial international shortwave station.
All right. We'll let George Jacobs answer that. Did you hear that, George?
Yeah, yes, I did, Khalil. I heard it well. Commercial stations, shortwave stations, world-band stations in the United States, are licensed by the Federal Communications Commission, just as the AM TV stations are. And generally, you have to apply an application to the commission with certain technical information, certain legal information, certain financial information. It's a process. It's not a very difficult process. And if your process is accepted by the commission, it generally takes about 6 months before a construction permit is issued. Construction permit permits you to build the station. When your station is completed and it meets all of the FCC regulations, it's issued a license. I should point out, Khalil, that any station owned here in the United States commercially must be owned by U.S. citizens. This is one of the many requirements.
Another requirement, George, is that you cannot broadcast on the shortwave band to the United States.
That's true. You have to aim your program overseas. There's so-called
people listening don't even know what we're talking about.
That's true.
So we're getting very technical. I suggest you write to George Jacobs if you have any further need of information, or as he said, contact the FCC. Khalil, thank you.
I appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye. Let's take a call from Dave in Vancouver, British Columbia. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Ray. I'm a member of the Worldwide TV FMDX Association.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to say hello to you and your guests. I'm not able to receive your program on any of the stations which are quoted in our...
Well, we don't have one in the Northwest except in Portland, and that doesn't get up to your part of the world.
That wasn't mentioned in last month's publication. Which station is that in Portland? Do you know
what? KUIK.
I see.
But you won't be able to receive that up in Vancouver, B.C., unfortunately.
Yes, that's a fairly low.
You can hear the Seattle stations, but you can't hear Portland too often, I don't
think. That's true, yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Anyway, I wanted to say hello to all the members of the Worldwide TV FMDX Association. There are quite a few that I've corresponded with, but very few of them that I've actually met outside of the greater Vancouver area. I received some interesting skip about 3 weeks ago, and perhaps some of your guests might want to comment on it. This is in connection with television. I woke up on Saturday morning 3 weeks ago about 3:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and just took a notion to see what was on TV, to see if there's any skip coming in, and lo and behold, I received some skip like I've never received before. For example, I picked up Sound on WHBF Channel 4, Rock Island, Illinois, which is just under 1,700 miles by direct line of sight.
That's one of the problems with a newly charged ionosphere. It does create interference problems.
Yeah.
I'll let George talk about that, but go ahead.
At that particular time, Channel 4 Seattle KOMO-TV was off the air with their color bar, which, as everybody knows, that helps you receive skip when you don't have a local or a host station, which is on the air. I also received KNOP Channel 2 in North Platte, Nebraska. And our Channel 2 does not run a color bar at night, which means the frequency is open to anything else that just might happen to come in. And
so, Dave, you're in an exotic form of DX called television DXing, right?
Yes, that's correct.
That's interesting.
But that is the only time in about 4 or 5 years that I belong to the club that I've ever received skip at that time of the morning, and very seldom at that time of the year.
I can tell you, Los Angeles in the evening hours sometimes, the skip would be so tremendous on the low channels 2 and 4 that I, on the cable service that I have seen the skip signal overpower the local stations and take over.
Really?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And that is something.
Yes. At that particular morning, Ray, I also received somebody's test pattern over Channel 6 Victoria, which is within about 40 miles from Vancouver, but I wasn't able to identify it because the other one did not have any call letters. But I'm tending now to be up and around in the early hours of the morning just to see if there's anything around.
Well, that sounds good. Dave, we're getting some interference on the phone.
Yes, we are.
I hope it's not the sunspots, but thank you very much for the call.
Yes, I'm going to be corresponding with our club, and quite possibly one of the members of my club might be taping your program that I might be able to receive a copy of. If I can, I'll certainly look forward to hearing your full program, Ray.
Very good. Thank you, Dave, for the call from Vancouver, B.C., one of my favorite cities. I was up there for the fair. We'll be right back with Stuart McKenzie, Steve Miller, Tom Nitel, Larry Magny, and George Jacobs, and your phone calls.
This is Radio Canada International calling from Montreal.
ET Radio Canada.
This is Canada.
KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis.
KSTP, talk radio.
1-213-879-8700. 1-213-879-8700. 5-5. You know, in Salt Lake City, Utah, we're expecting another hot day tomorrow. Not much chance of a shower and highs may go 100
degrees.
High tree, Martin. From the west to the world, super power, KUSW. We can use a little of that heat right now. Let's go to Salt Lake City, Utah, on the phone. We have Mr. Alan Haig, executive vice president of KUSW. Mr. Haig, good morning.
Good morning to you.
So, tell us about KUSW. We have George Jacobs on the phone, and I guess you know George very well. He spent a lot of time
pulling
your station on the air.
Well, I'm very proud of it, and should be. It's a great station, and we're receiving tremendous reaction from it to all over the world.
So tell us about the genesis of KUSW and what you plan on doing with this international shortwave station from Salt Lake City.
Well, the genesis is that we have been on the air now a year. We celebrated our anniversary on the 26th of December, 1988, and are in the process of going into our second year now. And we feel like it's becoming a success. It's taking time, and certainly with the commercial end of things, because it's a process of educating advertisers and major advertisers as to the benefits of shortwave. Many times when you talk to those people, they literally, you have to go back 4 or 5 times before they really actually know what you're talking about.
And then they want to see a rating.
And we have, we ventured into that possibility in terms of audience measurement within the United States, but it's very difficult to measure audience outside of the United States. And so we have talked with the people from Arbitron and the people from Radar. We're in the process of talking with those folks about the possibility of measuring here within the United States. But really, that's not our prime target area. We're looking at shooting into Canada and Europe more specifically.
All right, George, would you like to get in here and make a few comments? Go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Al. One thing that did occur to me is that next time Ray has this program on the air, which I think would be either probably in July or during the summertime, we ought to see if we can't arrange to get it on KUSW and have it on World Band as well, so the listeners like the gentleman in Vancouver who can't hear it through a local station would be able to hear it through shortwave.
I think that's a great idea.
I am all for it. All right, Mr. Haig, if you are going to be successful, you have to be able to pay more than just the power bill. What kind of a time frame have you given yourself?
Well, I think initially we felt that we could put the station on and be successful in terms of advertiser interest within about a two-year period. And it appears that we're pretty much on track for that. Certainly, it's going to take a variety of different types of advertisers and a variety of different types of revenue, but we feel that literally in the field of commercial shortwave broadcasting, there's been no one as of yet that has ventured into it as probably as aggressively as we have. At least having been out on the streets and talked to the people in major advertising capitals in the United States anyway, there certainly hasn't been anybody out there as aggressively as we have been in the past, and we're making some good inroads there.
One of the things that has always bothered me, that we've thought about so many times, is that shortwave is especially great in the western United States, where in the daytime you're out of touch with many broadcast band stations for hundreds of miles. At least it used to be that way. And shortwave, I've had a shortwave converter in my car for some 20 years or so, and I find that that's the only way I can keep in touch. And yet, no American manufacturer makes a shortwave radio for American cars.
Well, we were talking with some car radio manufacturers presently. The people at Blaupunkt are interested in looking further into a, distribution of a shortwave radio in the United States. And frankly, there just hasn't been a demand in the United States for those kind of units. I think as the popularity of shortwave increases and that people will find that there's a wide variety of programming there that's not available on the regular AM/FM bands, I think you'll find more demand for car radios that do have the shortwave feature within them in the United States itself.
Anything you'd like to say about KUSW, George?
Yes, I think, Al, you can confirm, I had said previously that KUSW is receiving about 1,000 letters a month, and equated this using that 500 listeners per letter to a minimum listenership of about 500,000 on a monthly basis. Is that the figures you've got now?
Pretty much so. Now, that would probably be more in terms of the U.S. We're estimating our U.S. audience at somewhere close to 1 million on a monthly basis, and that's pretty impressive when you consider what normal radio stations in the United States, at least in New York or a Los Angeles radio station, would do. But the letters just keep pouring in. They're just fantastic to read through, and the thing that we have to offer that some other commercial networks do not, and some commercial radio stations do not, is the reach into areas, people at ship at sea, and people in remote areas of the world.
Well, very good. I appreciate your being with us, Mr. Haig, and I've taken a tour of the plant. I was up there in Salt Lake City, and Mr. Carlson, the owner, took me through last July, I think it was. And say hello to my good friend Al Colaprice, okay? Al Colaprice.
I will.
All right. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Alan Haig of KUSW. He's the executive vice president there in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Hey,
St. Paul, Minneapolis. couple of minutes. We want to break for the news, so hurry.
what I need to know is that what's the difference between shortwave and medium range? What's the other one? World band.
Well, world band and shortwave are the same thing.
It's the same thing. Also, I need to upgrade. It's very important that I upgrade because I'm moving to Africa pretty soon, and I need good equipment.
All right. Tell him quickly about that, Steve Miller.
Okay.
Anthony, a couple main things you want to do is there's many manufacturers on the market that have that type of equipment. And the other part of the equipment that you do need that a lot of people don't think about is a very good antenna system. If you can't get the signal to the radio, you can't hear it.
Also, okay, as far as African shows, are there any African shows out there? I know that Nigeria has one.
Well, the Voice of America has a complete African service.
Well, we'll say other than Voice of America.
WCSN has a six-hour African service.
Can I possibly get it in Gambia, West Africa, by any chance?
Like a local station.
Okay, beautiful.
No doubt about it.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, Anthony.
And your shows are good, too.
Thank you.
Accurate also on the BBC and the Russian show.
Good.
Voice of America, they are popular.
Yes, they are. All right, Anthony, thanks for the call. And we're going to take a break for the news. We will be back with Stuart McKenzie of the American Shortwave Listeners Club, Steve Miller of Radio West. They deal in radio equipment. Tom Nitel, editor of Popular Communications Magazine. Larry Magny, publisher of Passport to World Band Radio. And George Jacobs, consulting engineer who's put many of these stations on the air. Former chief engineer of the Voice of America. This is Talk Radio. I'm Ray Brain.
KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis.
KSTP, Talk Radio.
This is Talk Radio. I'm Ray Brame. And in the studio, we have Stuart McKenzie of the American Shortwave Listeners Club, Steve Miller of Radio West. They sell worldwide a product called World Band Radios. Tom Nitel in New York City, editor of a very popular magazine called Popular Communications. Larry Magny, he's publisher of Passport to World Band Radio, and consulting engineer George Jacobs. Now, before we take another call, let's listen to another international shortwave station.
The American people have seen, through the publication of secret Pentagon documents, how from the time of Truman and Eisenhower, U.S. presidents have tricked Congress and the American people about the nature of the imperialist genocidal war in Indochina.
This is Radio Havana, Cuba.
Broadcasting from Cuba, free territory of America.
Well, Stuart, as you know, that's an oldie. They don't say that anymore. They don't play that kind of music anymore. But like the early days of Radio Peking or Radio Portugal, so many broadcasters, these things are now classics. You can put them in the archives.
Right, right.
Would you agree with that, George Jacobs?
Yes, I would, yes. That's an oldie that you pulled out.
It really is. Larry Magny, Penns Park, Pennsylvania. What about these old signatures?
Well, Ray, you're quite correct. It's not only the tunes and the martial image that they give off, but the whole propaganda aspect, which is diminished. Fortunately, the broadcasts now are much more objective and news-oriented. They respect the listener's intelligence somewhat more than that kind of thing.
Tom Nitel, do you ever get into any, signatures of days past in articles in your magazine?
We have a column that is very popular in the magazine where we discuss the stations that existed in the past. Of course, some of those stations that exist in the past still exist today, perhaps under different call signs. But there's a lot of interest in our readership. I guess people like to know their roots. The roots of broadcasting certainly are as fascinating and exciting as the history of any industry, and perhaps even more so.
Somewhere I have a cut from Radio Portugal from many years ago, And, of course, they played this dramatic music, and you'll hear it. The can, the West can and will win. Very dramatic stuff. All right, let's go back to the phone calls here. We have Dave on the line from Los Angeles. Dave?
Yes.
You're on with Stuart, Steve, Tom, Larry, and George.
Okay. I have something which is really relevant to current interest, and that is I was listening to Radio Japan this evening, and I noted the frequencies which they reported that they're broadcasting on, and some of your listeners may be interested in those.
All right.
I listened to them on 5990 kilohertz when they were coming through from 10 to 12 this evening.
That's probably from their Canadian relay.
It may have been. They abruptly terminated at midnight, but they were coming in very clearly. Their other frequencies are 15235, 15270, 17765, and 17810. And I suspect that those last frequencies, you can hear them here in Southern California in the afternoon around 3 o'clock local.
Yeah, I've listened to the 16-meter frequencies.
Okay, and one other, a couple of other, if people have a digital dial or an accurate analog dial, and one of the interesting stations to listen to is Radio Turkey. That comes at 9445 kilohertz. Around 8 p.m. local time.
Yeah, I've heard that one, too.
And that's on a clear channel.
Mm-hmm.
And also Radio Venezuela, I understand, is coming on board at the end of this month, I believe, with a transmitter over 1 megawatt output, or RF output.
Let's see if George Jacobs knows about that. George, do you know about that?
Well, yeah. That rumor has been going on for quite a number of years. I suppose eventually they'll get the capital together and put the station on the air. I have not heard anything as recent as this gentleman just mentioned, but it is a station that has been in the planning stage since, I know, 1979, because that's when they approached me and spoke to me about it. It's an old continental transmitter that they tried to pick up. It may be that it will materialize soon.
Okay. Well, that's basically it. I just had one comment, I guess, a personal opinion. I do a lot of SWLing and have done for many years.
SWLing? You better explain that, Stuart.
SWLing is the initials for shortwave listener.
Okay. Very good. Okay. I just want to get these things out. A lot of people out there don't know what we're talking about.
Well, one of the problems I find when you listen to the shortwave bands is you get either a... You get a lot of news, which grows kind of old fast, because if it's not slanted, at least it's there every hour, and you're quickly inundated with it. Or you get some music, which the quality leaves something to be desired, and so what you're kind of left with is commentary or something to keep your interest in the show, such as Letter to America from Alistair.
You heard that cut that I played.
Yeah, and that kind of commentary is what really makes shortwave broadcasting excel, and people listen, but you find such not very much of that going on.
That's one of the oldest shows, if not the oldest show on radio. I think it's been on some 45 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, he, of course, gives an excellent show, and I just wonder if the gentlemen think that there will be more of that. That is kind of gray matter shows that bring your listeners in.
I don't know. What do you think about that, Larry?
Well, for one thing, the BBC World Service is getting more into this area, and, of course, they're the ones that turn out Letter to America. But they recently restructured their venerable news service to include more of that kind of thing. In other words, in-depth analysis, a more historical perspective rather than the news of the moment you were just talking about, which does get stale quickly.
George Jacobs, would you tell our listeners what has been happening with relay stations? That's why we get such good service from, say, the BBC and Radio Deutsche Welle from Cologne, West Germany, and, of course, certainly Radio Netherlands from Holland. Why do we get that, and let's not forget also Radio France International, why do we get that good signal into North America?
Relays are developing now because of the generally better political situation throughout the world, where you have Radio Canada, for example, wanting to have a better signal in Japan, and Radio Japan wanting to have a better signal in North America.
So they exchange time, right?
Exchange. There's no money involved. It's just an exchange of time. It doesn't increase the budget, and it brings the transmitting station much closer. You hear Radio Japan coming from a station in Canada, you'll hear it much better than you're hearing it coming the many thousands of miles directly from Tokyo.
So that's the current trend, and they feed these stations by satellite.
Yes, the current trend is to go more and more to the exchange of relays and to feed it by satellite. Now, you do have one or two very powerful commercial stations that provide relay service, like Radio Africa in Gabon provides a relay for many organizations, and that's a commercial station. You pay for that relay. But most of the relays you've mentioned, the big relay agreement signed recently between Radio Beijing and the French radio, is an exchange of time from facilities that are much closer located to the intended audience.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back with Stuart McKenzie of the American Shortwave Listeners Club, Steve Miller of Radio West, Tom Nitel, editor of Popular Communications Magazine, Larry Magny, publisher of Passport to World Band Radio, and George Jacobs, consulting engineer for 30 years or more, chief engineer of the Voice of America. And this is our semi-annual World Band Radio DX special.
Very charming engineer on the show today, ladies and gentlemen.
Judy Fenley, thank you very much.
Isn't her feature-length presentation of Radio Nidalong.
Produced by Jerry.
And Dodie
Collins.
The Cowans with His and Hers, a weekly program, is broadcast by the Dutch Royal Broadcasting System, Radio Nederland, in Hilversum, Holland.
KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis.
KSTP, talk radio.
Missed any of the conversation this morning? Just dial our talk radio number at 1-213-879-TALK. Now, just let the phone ring. We won't answer it until it's your turn, and that'll save you some money. The number again is 1-213-879-TALK. That's 1-213-879-8255.
This is Radio Peking.
All right, there's an oldie. We don't even call it Peking anymore. It's Beijing, but so be it. Let us now go to Sarasota Springs, New York, and Bob. Good morning, Bob.
Yeah, good morning.
You're on with Stuart, Steve, Tom, Larry, and George. Take your pick.
Tom.
Sure. All right. Editor of Popular Communications Magazine.
Right, yeah. With Tom there, I used to read all about his articles in the S9 magazine.
That goes back a long way, Bob.
Yes. And I know everybody has been trying to figure out who Alice Branigan is. I found her.
Oh, really? Go ahead.
Okay. September 1976.
In S9 magazine.
Right.
That's right. She wrote an article for us then. She mentioned that.
She wrote an article on your car.
She's our mystery lady.
Yes.
With an old car, right.
Right.
You got a good memory.
Well, I have a good collection of S9 magazines.
John, this is Steve. Steve Miller. I've also got a copy of that magazine. We'll be going home and opening it up this morning.
Yes, I have it right here in front of me.
For those who don't know, if you've never read Popular Communications Magazine, she writes a column in the magazine every month. I'm looking at the December issue, and it talks about the Imperial Japanese Naval Communications, 1941 to 1945. It's the 47th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. Let's take a look at Japan's naval communications during World War II. Interesting article.
Yeah, she's quite knowledgeable, and she does go back away writing, and she has a big following in the magazine, and she just doesn't use her real name in the magazine, and it's got everybody interested in the real name.
All right, Bob, thanks for the call. We have Jim on the line from Los Angeles, California. Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, I've been listening to you for a long time, and you got me interested in shortwave.
Good.
And 2 years ago, I was given a shortwave radio, one of the tuner types, and I couldn't pick anything up on it. So this last Christmas, my wife got me a digital from Radio Shack.
Mm-hmm.
And I still can't pick up anything. I even went out and bought an aerial and put it on the roof, and I still don't pick up anything. So what am
Well, you're probably on the wrong band at well, the wrong time.
In the back, yeah, that's possible. In the back of the book, they have all the listing of all the different bands, and that's corresponding to the stations.
I think we ought to let, man who knows all about this and puts these stations on the air tell you about it, George Jacobs. Go ahead, George.
Well, the first thing I would say is that, you know, you've got a shortwave station right there in Los Angeles that you could hear over a very, very wide area locally, and that's KVOH.
And it's up on the mountains there in the Santa Susana Range, so where you are in the valley, Jim, you should be able to hear that on your teeth.
I live in Simi Valley.
Okay, then during the daytime, you tune them in on 17,775 kilohertz.
Okay.
And get yourself started. Once you hear them, then you know the radio's working. If you don't hear them, you may have a bad radio, which is unlikely.
Right. I'm going to go to the library and pick up a copy of that passport.
That was going to be my next suggestion. That would be the next thing to get is the passport. And that'll guide you like TV guides you what to watching TV programs.
And may I make a suggestion? If you've been listening to me through the years, Jim, you know that I've spoken of a thing called alligator clips.
Right.
Get the one where you don't have to solder it. It has a little screw on it. And just tighten the screw, put the wire on it, and give yourself 15 feet of wire, insulated wire. And just hang the antenna up and attach it to the little pull-up antenna on that radio. And you'll be amazed at what it'll do for you.
Oh, okay.
Try it. A little wire will do it.
I put the thing up on the roof, you know, and I was very disappointed when I still couldn't pick up anything. All I pick up is Spanish.
Yeah. Well, try it, and to make sure you're on the right band, you use the higher bands, in other words, the 19-meter band, the 16-meter band, and shortly I guess you'll be able to use the 21-meter band. You'll be able to use those, but those are the daytime bands primarily.
Right.
Jim, there's a little tip. I think I'm familiar with that radio, and that radio has a little switch at the bottom that says shortwave or SW.
Right.
By pushing that switch each consecutive time, it will bring you to the next shortwave band. And like Ray said, just start at the higher frequencies in the daytime and work lower later in the evening and the afternoons.
So try the 19-meter band and the 16-meter band, and then later on in the afternoon you go to the 25-meter band and the 31 and then the 49, okay?
Okay, well, appreciate it.
Okay.
You have a nice night.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back with our annual World Band DX special right after these words.
KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis.
KSTP, talk radio.
And that's about it for today. From Australian newsreel, Lynn Grice saying, bye now.
This is Radio Australia, the overseas service of the Australian Broadcasting Commission.
All right, let us go now to Camillus, New York, I guess that is. Unless it's Spanish, then I'm in trouble. It would be Camillus. Let's say hello to John. Good morning, John.
Yeah, good morning to you.
And that's KB2ERJ.
Yep, AM operator.
N6FFT here. George Jacobs, what's your call?
Very easy. W3ASK, ask.
All right.
People call me Urge.
Urge?
Yeah.
All right, Urge.
So, I had a question. I haven't been very active in the shortwave listening aspect of it, but I was curious, whatever happened to NDXE down in Alabama?
Well, that is a good question. Who wants to tackle that one?
Well, I can tell you he's not on the air, and although there was a lot of fanfare over the last, 4 or 5 years, as far as I know, nothing has materialized.
He still has plans to go. Last time I heard from him a few months ago, he was still going on air, but he didn't have a date.
All right, John?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Okay, bye-bye.
And let's take a call from Rosemarie in Tucson, Arizona. Rosemarie, good morning.
Good morning, and help, gentlemen. I have an unusual situation here. Roughly 20 years ago, a relative gave me a shortwave radio. It's a Hallicrafters S120. I haven't the foggiest notion on what I need to do to get this thing operating. Like I said, help!
Rosemarie, probably the first thing you need to do is put up an antenna. Most of those receivers, the old receivers, definitely need an antenna for it to even operate. You won't pick anything up unless you put some kind of wire, even 30 feet out.
And then it has a band spread on it, too.
It has an AM band and three SW shortwave bands.
Mm-hmm.
It's a table model.
Does it have two major dials?
Hold on a second. Let me look here.
If it's the one I think of, if it's a communications receiver, it would have a band spread on it.
It has a band spread.
Well, that could get you into trouble if you don't know what you're doing.
Well, I don't.
Hold on a second, Rosemarie. Okay. We'll come back and we'll help you.
Okay.
All right. This is Talk Radio. I'm Ray Brain.
Information station, KSTP, Talk Radio 1500.
1-213-879-TALK. That's the number here at Talk Radio. It allows you to take part in the program this morning. Now, just let the phone ring. We won't answer it until it's your turn, and that'll save you some money. 1-213-879-8255. That's 1-213-879-TALK.
You are listening to the voice of Free Korea, transmitting from Seoul.
All right. Boy, if somebody just tuned in, they're saying, what is this? I've got the whole world out there I'm listening to. Rosemarie
yes.
is on the phone from Tucson, and she's putting out a help call. I think we better let engineer George Jacobs try and help her, and then we'll get to a book that Steve Miller has in mind. Go ahead, George.
I think the easiest thing to do would be to ask someone like Steve to give you a suggestion of a simple book to read. There are several pamphlets and rather well-written books for people who are not the engineers or technicians and who just want to enjoy shortwave. Your radio should work. That Hallicrafter made a good product in its day. And Steve, perhaps you can suggest a basic primer, or maybe Larry can, because Larry's book also has some instructions.
All right, before you do that, with the band spread, if it's like the old Nationals, it'll have a place where you start and you set it.
Okay.
That means that when you turn the major dial, that gets you into the proper area you want to start. Then the band spread will electrically separate the stations from each other to give you more separation.
Uh-huh.
So therefore, it's more selective. And you take the band spread after you get to the band that you want, the area that you want, you take the band spread and turn it, and it alone will then serve as an electrical way of separating the stations and making it easier to tune.
Uh-huh. Now, it's got all kinds of names of places on it.
That doesn't mean a thing.
Uh-huh. It doesn't. The frequencies change quite a bit, and especially after 20 or 30 years, you're going to find the stations.
Even when they were new, it didn't mean a thing.
Yeah.
Rosemarie, there's a couple of books that I'd probably recommend, and definitely Larry Magny's Passport to World Band Radio is probably the easiest to locate. There's another good book by a gentleman that's been around for a long time named Harry Helms, and that's the Shortwave Listener's Handbook. It's a very, very good book for somebody that's just starting out in the World Band Radio.
All right, now did you get those two books?
I didn't hear it.
All right, Passport to World Band Radio.
Passport
to World Band Radio.
World Band.
Go to an electronics store in Tucson.
Okay.
That serves ham radio operators. They always have a supply of these type of books.
Ham radios, okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And
even though it has nothing to do with ham radio, they stock the books there. Okay.
What was the other one? You gave me Passport to World Band Radio.
And yeah. The other one is the Shortwave Listener's Handbook by Helms, H-E-L-M-S.
H-E-L-M-S.
And you should be able to pick it up at the public library.
Okay. Can you explain a little bit to me about how to rig up an aerial? I know this is a stupid question, but...
A piece of wire.
Point.
A little bit of wire will do you.
What's a little bit of wire?
Anything that will work. If you've got 15, 25, 30 feet, just taken as Lynn suggested.
6 feet will do.
Put an antenna clip on there and just string it out a window.
And now, are we talking about copper wire?
Could be.
Insulated wire.
Yes, insulated wire.
Insulated copper wire, huh?
That's
it. You got it. But while you're at the electronics store, ask them for some alligator clips, the type that you can screw the wire on, not the type that you have to solder. I don't think you'd be too good with a solder gun. So,
clips.
You know, the type that has a screw on it, that you can screw the wire on it.
Screw it on.
Right. You got it?
Hey, I'm learning. One other quick question. Is there any way I can possibly go through the Helicrafters company, if there still is one existing, a manual for this thing?
I'm afraid not. I think they ceased to exist.
Rosemary, if you could, I tell you what, if you could send us a letter, we can see if we can photocopy one of the...
All right, what's your address at Radio West?
Our address, Radio West, is 850... Ann's Way, like the girl's name, A-N-N-S. The city is Vista, V-I-S-T-A. California, 92083.
83. And what was the name of the organization?
It's Radio West.
Radio West.
I happen to be a collector of amateur radios, as my wife can attest, and I have about 20 to 30 old ones with the schematics and everything, so we might be able to help you there.
I think I'm going to become a shortwave addict. I love the idea. I just had it sitting in this storage room and doing nothing.
Good. We'll fix you up.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Rosemary. We'll be right back.
ABC World Service continues now with review of the British press. The mass arrests of anti-war demonstrators in Washington and the start of the Queen's Canadian tour make front page news.
KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis.
KSTP, talk radio.
All right, let's go now to Ford's, New York. No, Ford's, New Jersey. Where's Ford's, New Jersey, Ray?